Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by the hardest working person in all of sports infotainment, Denise Salcedo. How's it going, Denise?
Happy Friday. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you and me both. Let's get into this show itself because we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. We've also got a Patreon mailbag and a messy finale to this show. Here it is. Little Miss Domestic Goddess, Denise Salcedo. How's it going, Denise?
I'm Little Miss Domestic Goddess. I was like, where is he going with this? When you said Little Miss Domestic, I was like, what is he talking about? Yes, I am now Little Miss Domestic Goddess, cleaning my house, doing my little lady duties here.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I so hate we're like doing people, this stuff.
People must think it's like, oh man, they must have the coolest conversations when they're off air because they just like talk about what they're doing on the weekend and stuff. Me and Denise, like our conversation was just like, I've done so much housework this week. I had the day off yesterday. I fixed my strimmer because it needed reblading. That's what I did with my day off, and I mowed the lawn.
And minus, I can't wait to get a vacuum because I gotta clean my rugs. That is really sad, you know, like you would think that we'd be like, oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Oh, this was really cool. I can't believe. No, we're here having a boring conversation about cleaning our houses. Oh, man, that's what I'm doing this Saturday. I told you, I'm cleaning my studio. So now everybody knows. You know what? What can I say? Like I always say you got to have the best of both worlds. All right. So I'm working all the time. Well, I also got to do my housewife stuff, even though I'm not even a housewife, but I got to do my housewife work or my little lady work.
Right. Well, let's get into this show because yesterday, a WWE writer by the name of Kenneth Mobley. I apologize if I've said that name wrong. I think that is how it's said, though. I could very well be wrong. It was a writer that I don't think anyone had ever heard of. Absolutely no one had heard of this writer within WWE, but she caused up quite the stir on social media yesterday because she did an interview with a podcast called Asian Not Asian. Turns out she's a WWE writer, and they were asking her about being a WWE writer, and here's what she had to say. Yes, I've just been hired by WWE. Given the things that you know about me and my entire life and what I'm into, that is surprising. It's also a surprise for me. They did not require me to know anything about wrestling, but I do have a background in film production and comedy writing. They're like, perfect, come on in. So I'm on the Monday Night Raw team. There's a Monday Night Raw team and a Friday Night SmackDown, and the people I know there are Bobby. His name is either Bobby Ashley or Bobby Lashley, and I really should know that.
Wait, he's like this from giant... the quote?
This is from the quote. He's like this big, giant black guy, and he's with these people who are part of his crew. I know that they're called, or at least they were called last year, they call themselves the Hurt Business. The Hurt Business. They wear suits, and they're like, we're cool. That was so that is a WWE writer's quote about the product that they're currently writing for, where they could not name the WWE champion.
I am like shocked right now, honestly. Because, like, I hadn't read, like, the entire quote. Like, I only, like, knew about the story. I didn't read the quote. And now I'm just thinking it is a million times worse than I expected. Do you think somebody brought this to her attention? Because I would imagine you do this at your job. Like, even if it's your job, it's, like, some random, like, little job. Like, you would still get in trouble for something like this.
So, this comes in from Dave Meltzer in today's Wrestling Observer newsletter, because apparently it did cause a bit of a stir. So this is from this week's Observer talking about this quote. It said, this got a lot of criticism outside of WWE about hiring someone as a writer who knows nothing about wrestling. I mean, there is good and bad in it, but more bad. The reality is the people in charge and choose the direction and angles. The reality is there are people in charge who choose the directions and angles, and the writers are just there to fill in words and give ideas. This turned into a fairly big thing backstage, heavily talked about on social media, but also noted among those on the inside. Mobley was under the gun for speaking publicly on subjects that WWE didn't want talked about. One person very close to the situation noted the negative reaction on this and said that she is not the only one in this situation. And actually, it's typical of many of the writers. They were embarrassed by this going public. It makes WWE to the outside world look blindingly stupid. And blindingly stupid is a direct quote.
It is so bad. Like, here's the thing. Okay. So, like, I understand that, like, sometimes you want to get people that are maybe outside the wrestling world to, you know, to write your shows. Okay, I get that, because, you know, there are very creative people out there that can maybe come up with some cool things. You know, having an outsider's perspective could be great, honestly. I could see the pros in that. But I always do think that you should have, like, a mixture of, like, maybe people that know the product, maybe have had some experience, and then, you know, sprinkle in a couple of people that could just bring, like, the creative aspect of things, you know, like, okay, somebody's got the wrestling portion down. All right, cool. Somebody else can bring in the, you know, the creative or whatever. And it just sounds really bad, though. The part about Bobby Lashley, the way that she described him, and she's just like, I don't even know his name. It's like, why? I don't even know. It just doesn't seem like something that you would want to say. Like, I feel like if I was working for a company, I would at least pretend like I knew what I was doing. Maybe I feel like it's very obvious that you would get in trouble for a quote like that, because sounds terrible. Like, she could have just said, like, oh, I wasn't required to understand product knowledge, but the reason behind this is because, you know, they want to, you know, get more creative. They want to get some inspiration from some of the work that I did on projects, like, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, she could have definitely said something along those lines, but instead completely buried her new employer, which I could only imagine is going to get her some, you know, people that are going to be there are going to be, like, embarrassed. But Luke, so I actually kind of have, like, a little kind of a story for you. So,
okay.
I think it was about maybe it was prior, a couple months prior to the pandemic. So my school, my college that I went to, Cal State Fullerton, they essentially did this award ceremony. And basically it was like for Latinos who had done stuff like in communications. And I was basically accepting an award. So when I accepted the award, I mentioned some of my work that I do, you know, covering wrestling. I mentioned WWE and all of that, right? So afterwards, there was a caterer. And I was getting some dessert, and he goes up to me and he's like, hey, so, like, you know, I was hearing your speech when you talked about, you know, wrestling and WWE. And then he goes, did you know that I used to be a writer for them? And I was like, what now? Yeah, the caterer. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, like, I used to write for them, this and that. And he was telling me about this. And I just thought, well, that is so random. And, like, basically, like, yeah, he knew, like, you know, some stuff about wrestling, but it wasn't anything that, like, you know, not like this extensive knowledge or anything like that. But he ended up, like, only doing it for a short period of time and then decided to leave because he just didn't like the job. And I just thought, what a freaking small world. That, like, the caterer was a writer for WWE. And, like, here he is, you know, catering this event. I just thought it was, like, insane small world.
We've actually had a comment here from CG that says, hey, Denise is a fellow Titan, tusks up. Is that is that your school catchphrase?
Yeah, but I had no school spirit, so.
Oh, Denise. like, WWE bringing in writers from the outside world, outside of wrestling, that is not an uncommon thing. Like, this is what they've been doing this for years and years and years, probably 15 plus years at this point. You remember, like, Freddie Prinze Jr. was a writer on the, because they brought him in because he came in from Hollywood. Difference is, Freddie Prinze Jr. was also a wrestling fan. Like, he came in because he was a wrestling fan, but, you know, like, but he's also someone that comes in from Hollywood. And WWE don't make wrestling shows. They make movies. So what better way to make movies than to bring in people who have worked on movies or worked on TV shows to be part of your writing staff? And as Dave pointed out there, like, really, the creative direction is being done by Pritchard. It's being done by Vince. It's being done by sort of like that inner circle. The writers are just there to write the promo segments and just sort of write what they say in ring. So this writer here, like, not knowing anything about wrestling prior to working there, isn't the biggest boo-boo in the world because she's just there to do a job. But with that said, like, if I was hired to write Game of Thrones, it's called, like, John Blow or John Doe or something. I don't really know. Like, I think that I would be quite rightfully criticized for not knowing one of the lead characters' names.
But see, it's like the same thing. Like, I hate to, you know, beat on a dead horse right now, but, like, the whole situation with Adnan Virk, he didn't follow the product and the guy was put in this prime position. And I'm sorry, like, a lot of people were like, oh, you know, poor him, he got thrown into the spot. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm sorry, but I don't know anything about, you know, I don't know, tennis or basketball. I'm not going to go and apply to talk about these things when I don't know anything about it. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Or but, at the very least, if you were hired to, like, write, you know, to be a presenter for tennis, you'd probably watch a couple of tennis matches ahead
yes,
of time.
Thank you. Or I'd probably ask somebody to script me. I'd be like, yo, script me here, man. Tell me what to say. Give me some bullet watch, points. Like, I'm a fast learner.
You watch two episodes of Raw and Bobby Lashley's there. Like, so you kind of know that
true.
Name.
That is true. I feel like he's the champion. If he was just like a nobody, then I'd be like, okay, so she messed up so-and-so's name, whatever, no big deal. But yeah, that's really bad because it also lessens your champion when your own writer doesn't even know the name of the champion. It's just bad. It's just bad all around. Yeah.
We were talking about this in our morning meeting today because it just came up in conversation. We were talking about this and I said, why is it always Lashley as well? Because do you remember when Donald Trump had Lashley represent him for WrestleMania and then he did that interview and couldn't remember his name either? And I'm like, what is it with Bobby Lashley's name that people can't remember? It's not exactly the most exciting name in the world either. It's a fairly easy one.
You know, what's weird is that Bobby Lashley has been a topic of discussion in my life like the last 48 hours, like in random situations. So you have this story coming out, right? So yesterday I auditioned for this like job, right? To be like some shopping host thing. And the girl that auditioned me was like, oh yeah. Like, cause she was asking me like, oh, what do you do? Blah, blah, blah. And I told her what I do. And she was like, oh, she's like, oh yeah, the wrestling stuff. She's like, one of my clients was Bobby Lashley. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, you know how he does the home renovation stuff, blah, blah, blah. She's like, yeah, I used to work with him. And I was like, oh, that is so random. And apparently the woman's husband is a fan of WWE and watches the show and watches Raw and, you know, watches Bobby Lashley. And then we come on here and we're talking about Bobby. Okay, I'm sorry. It's just like every, you know, when little things happen and it's kind of like the theme for like the next few days, Bobby Lashley is the theme of my life for the next 48 hours.
There was some. I didn't include all of this in the Observer stuff, but I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on this. And it, like, Meltzer goes into quite a bit of detail on this, which I thought was very interesting, which is talking about how they bring in writers to write promos for people. And one of the things that a lot of like ex-WWE stars have said when they've left is, man, doing the promos is so hard because they give you 20,000 words and you've then got to like learn all of those words. And it's really, and like it is, you've got to learn it to the letter. There is no painting outside of the lines. You have to do this to the letter. And what has been shown by AEW and wrestling companies around the world is when you don't script promos, you tend to find you get a lot more character out of promos. We actually saw it at WrestleMania this year when we had the Storm, and like they were like, oh man, we need to fill for time. Drew cut a promo for 30 seconds. Kevin Owens cut a promo for 45 seconds. Hype up your match. And they were cut, like, these were the best promos that we heard all this year. It's all the stuff that's been cut out of the replay. Like, it's not on the network now, which is a shame. But Meltzer notes that if WWE changed their ways, despite the fact that everyone has proven it's not the way to do it, to change their ways would be to admit they've been doing it wrong for 20 years. So that is why they'll never change their ways and they'll always do scripted promos.
See, and I think like I agree with that just because like it's maybe like a pride thing. And I think we know that they have, you know, pride. But here's the thing, though, is that WWE is really good at rewriting history. So they could be like, oh, well, we're trying this new way that's never been done before. And we're going to be the first to do it. And this is what we're going to go with. Come on, they could easily do that. And it won't even be like something that they haven't done before.
We put this question out on the community poll to see what you all thought of this. Basically asked the simple question that we got here. Do WWE writers need to know about wrestling in order to work there? Unsurprisingly, 89% of the poll thought that yes, that they should do. 4% thinking no, and only 7% thinking not really. So, yeah, I suppose like, you know, just to kind of wrap this up, although I think you kind of put it a bit quite succinctly early on. Do you think that a writer needs to know about wrestling in order to work for the company?
I would say, oh, I have to answer like just one.
No. Yeah, I mean, you can put it into a discussion point. You can.
Okay. Well, see, I kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier. I think that you should have a mixture. I think you should have people that know wrestling, understand wrestling, and then secondly, have people that are creative, or find people that are both creative and knowledgeable. I mean, I'm sure they're out there. There's how many people in this world? You're telling me you can't find one very, very creative wrestling fan that can write, you know, some product for you? I mean, I just feel like. I don't know. I feel like it would be an obvious answer. Yes, you have to know the product. I'm not going to go write for Ghostbusters tomorrow or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't even know all their turtles' names. I'd be like the woman. I'd be like Michael something, Raffy something.
I know. There have been some people who have come to our defense. Our own Louis Dangor, although he is leaving us, our own Louis Dangor was saying, like, you know what? You don't need to know everything about wrestling. Like, maybe she's doing this. Like, she's brought in to write comedy. And I was like, yeah, do you know what I mean? That's a fairly decent point. Problem is, the show's not funny either. Like, if she'd been brought in to write comedy, the show is failing on that front too.
You know what this reminds me of? Like the whole Bailey interview, the one where she accidentally revealed that like they pay for their own travel. I feel like it was one of those things that like you don't realize you're just having a casual conversation and then you you reveal this bombshell by accident and you're like, oops.
Oh man. I the woman, the poor woman who was interviewing her was just like, sorry, what?
And she's like, yeah, that was a job.
Yeah, I know she was. And like, but Bailey's rationale for that was so funny. It's just like, I mean, there's 30 of us. They can't pay for all of us. I was like, get a bus. Like, just get a big bus to transport.
Can you imagine, Luke? Come on. How would you answer that? As a WWE superstar, let's say you're on your way to getting a big push and you know that you're being tested here doing this interview. How do you answer that?
I mean, do you know what? Actually, there was Shayna Baszler did an interview recently where people were asking, someone asked her about the Alexa Bliss storyline. And that's like, that's some rocky terrain that you've got to navigate there because you're in one of the biggest storylines on Raw against one of the biggest, most pushed stars on Raw in a very, very divisive angle that has really split like the wrestling audience. And Shayna Baszler answered it with aplomb. She put over her mixed martial arts background. She put over her training and how she was taught in a very old school way. You know, this is what I did with this person. And like she was mentioning, like name dropping all of these people. And to be like, to essentially say in so many words, I'm going to paraphrase what she said, was, I want to show that I can do everything. I've been a badass. I did the badass thing in NXT and I did that really well. I can't just do that all the time. Doing this allows me to show some range. And if you read between the lines, what she said was, I think this is stupid. And the people who trained me would tell me that this is stupid because I come from a very old school mentality of you can't beat them in the ring. Then you will make them people believe you can beat them in the streets. But I do also need to show people that I can do everything. So I'm doing this. And that was a pretty smart answer, really.
Good for her. Good girl. She passed the Denise Media training course.
Well, that's it, because I mean, you did such a good job the other week where I was like, oh man, I didn't take any notes down. I can't remember. I don't know what I'm supposed to answer.
Next
this.
Time you're going into an interview, you're about to be interviewed for something, come to my course. I will prepare you in case you get those, you know, crazy questions and you don't know how to answer them.
I mean, if fingers crossed, I won't have to.
Oh my gosh, did you watch The Dark Side of the Ring, China?
Oh, the Vice documentary. I don't think it was Dark Side of the Ring, was it? Was it just like, it's called Vice Versa?
No, it was Dark Side of the Ring. Right?
Was it Dark Side? I thought it was a different documentary. But either way,
the China one. Did you watch it?
I haven't seen it. No, was it good?
Oh, okay. So like there was a moment where, and I hadn't seen this before, and I was just in like shock because I'm not a Howard Stern fan. I don't know anything about Howard Stern. Like, I don't really know anything about that. So there was a moment where like Triple H went on to the Howard Stern and they show this clip on there where they basically, you know, they're talking about his relationship with Stephanie and then with China and then with Stephanie. And then they start saying like, oh, well, like they start making comparisons about China being masculine and Stephanie being more feminine. And I forget like the direct question that he asked him, but it was something along the lines of like, oh, so like, you know, Stephanie's more feminine and, you know, China was so masculine, putting him on the spot like that. And I was like, what the hell? Apparently this is what Howard Stern is known for, but I was in shock that like, can you imagine somebody asking somebody something like that, like today, like, oh, well, you used to be with someone who's masculine and now you're with someone who's feminine. Like, that's terrible. I was in shock.
Howard Stern way, the Howard Stern way. Like, I discovered Howard Stern through the movie. Actually, he had like a biopic movie that he made himself called Private Parts. And that was my like, I thought it was a comedy character at first. I thought it was a made up character for this thing. So Howard Stern wasn't really much of a thing over here. But yeah, and then like, so that was where I learned it from. And there's a line in there that always sticks out with me, which is when he's on the radio station and the station that he's on absolutely hates him because he keeps doing things like that are mad on air, like, you know, giving a woman an orgasm live on air and all this sort of stuff, right? So like the station were like super mad at him and wants to kick him off the air, but he was getting killer ratings. And one of the like the studio, like the radio executives is like, why does he keep getting good ratings? And it's like, well, we polled half the audience want to see what he's going to do next. He's like, well, what about the people that hate him? It's like, honestly, they want to see what he's going to do next. Like, they are the, like, the people who hated him listen to it more because they wanted to see what they were going to be angry about in the next segments.
That is just wild. Yeah, I had no idea. And I was freaking out about it. My fiance was watching with me. He's like, Denise, that's what he's known for. And I was like, told me this. Like, I've never watched Howard Stern in my life. So this is like completely new. I was just in shock. I was like, how do you answer that? Like, I really don't know.
I mean, you had the right reaction there. Shock, because he was a shock jock. That's what he was there to do, is basically go on there and be like, how am I going to shock people?
He's still a thing, right?
I think he's got his own radio station, I think.
Oh,
like, okay. Maybe he's like behind a paywall or something. I don't really know. Like, it's, as I said, he's never really been a thing over here. Oh, okay. There you go. Howard Stern is on Sirius XM, maybe?
So he's still doing his, okay. Makes sense. I wonder if he's still doing like outlandish questions like that.
I think if that's what your gimmick is, it'd be like if Jerry Springer did a show today and it's like, but I'm not going to have people fight. And I'm not going to like, you know, bring in someone to be like, my dog's my husband. Like, no one, you know, it's actually just going to do a really serious talk show.
I mean, have they really ever had an episode where your dog's the husband?
I don't know.
I would watch that. See, I would sit there and I would watch that.
Yeah. I mean, we used to have a show here that was basically like, it was our British version of Jerry Springer called Jeremy Kyle. I don't know if he's still on anymore, but he used to do that sort of thing.
Jeremy Kyle.
Yeah, the Jeremy Kyle show. And it would be things like, oh man, my stepdad's actually my brother, and you know, all this sort of like it was like crazy, like funny stuff. That was actually the first job I ever applied for out of university, was to work on one of those shows. And
oh my god,
yeah, like had I got that job as well, that would have completely changed like the trajectory of my the rest of my career. And but yeah, it was working for Trisha, who was another one of like these sorts of like chat show host type things. And it was just like, I was like going through like, you know, us, you know, like finding those sorts of magazines, People Magazine, and finding those sorts of stories, contacting them to then bring them onto the show so they can like air their grievances and stuff.
Oh no. So, I'm glad that you didn't like move forward in that direction. You would have been some like reality TV boy.
Oh, exactly. That's exactly what I've fallen into. Oh, that sounds awful.
I think we could do a podcast, like an entire podcast on jobs that we've applied to. Because boy, do I have some stories.
I actually know someone who went on Jeremy Kyle.
Oh, really?
It's actually a good friend of mine's, their brother went on the show because his girlfriend accused him of cheating on her. And he was like, I didn't. So Jeremy Kyle used to do this thing called the lie detector test, where you go and you do a lie detector test. And he was like, I'll even go on Jeremy Kyle and do the lie detector test. And she was like, okay, then. So she signed them up for the show. He went on there. Dude was lying and got completely caught out on television as well, as because he was cheating on his girlfriend. I'm like, why did you agree to do it? Like, why did you, like, you knew you were going to get caught. Why would you agree to do it?
I mean, you can say that he's applying those attributes in his real life. If he knew he was going to get caught, he got caught cheating. He got caught on the show.
Yeah. And you know what? Got paid to go on the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anyway, right, let's get into what you have to say about a main topic of conversation, which isn't Jerry Springer or Jeremy Kyle. It's about this, do you need to be know the product to be a writer? Charles Berg says, I know Bobby Ashley wasn't the only wrong name that writer said. I'm just going to preface this, Denise, this is a joke. So just so you know,
Who else did she mess up?
No, these aren't real names. I found a few more names that were deleted from the interview. The Python, Andy Thornton, Tribe Guy, Ramen Runs, Damien the Rabbi, the US Champer, Shameless, and Apple Cruise. Take care, everyone.
You know, I'm glad you warned me because I would have been like, what?
What?
I would have been like, what? Did she really say this? Why didn't you mention this earlier?
Eternal Blue said WWE doesn't even know what the second letter in their name is. If it wasn't too famous to separate it from itself, Vince would slaughter the W into a meat wrap. But this story didn't surprise me personally. Vince has hated wrestling for 50 years.
Well, I mean, I think we all remember the Paul Heyman promo where it said wrestling's a nasty word.
It is, yeah. Death to sports entertainment. Right, let's get into your Patreon mailbag questions. Now, usually I would go into my spiel here where I would say, if you want to submit a question to the Patreon mailbag, but we're having a change of format, everyone. So you change off this month. This is going to be our last Patreon mailbag. A post has gone up on Patreon, at least I think it should have done. That might not be the case, actually. I think I might have forgot to tell Pete to sort this out. But basically, we decided that this show... The Patreon mailbag, when it gets to this section, like the viewership kind of dives off a little bit in the replay, because really, patrons don't really, like, if you're not a patron, you don't really care about this segment, because it's usually just questions about friends or turtles and things like that. So, me and Denise are getting a second show for Patreon backers only, where once a month we are going to answer your Patreon mailbag questions. But the format of the show is going to change next week. Still going to be me and Denise, but we're going to have a third guest host with us every single week, talking about the biggest week in news, and we're making more of a roundtable discussion. So, we think this should be, we're really excited for this. We think it's going to be a really positive change. Also, me and Denise get to do a second show together. Also, Denise, it'll be a second show that doesn't need to be filtered out. You can swear on that one as well.
Woo! So bring on the patron questions to that show. I'm excited. Hopefully our show does good. You know, the last thing I want to do is bomb, Luke.
No, Denise, you bring the numbers. Sean Dunn said, who do you think is the most buried talent in wrestling at the moment? Is it Bray Wyatt? Denise, since you're great with the baseball bat, are you now the new Sting?
I was going to say I'm great with a baseball bat. When did this happen? Oh, yeah. So, like, I got to go on set and, like, do, like, action, like, recreate action moves from, like, the movie Nobody. But a bunch of people thought that I was acting in a movie. And I was like, I'll just let the people think that. Whatever. So I didn't correct anybody.
Doing a film. I thought you were doing a film.
You thought the same thing too?
I did indeed, yeah.
I don't know why everybody thought that. I figured everybody would just guess like, oh, she is probably like doing some press event or something, because they always do those types of things, you know, like invite people to do this in honor of this movie and that and blah, blah, blah. And so I thought everybody knew. But anyway, so Luke, I will tell you something. Ever since that day, I feel like I am opening myself up more to try new things, because that was like something that, like, you know, I thought it was cool, but you know, there's a lot of things you think are cool, but you never actually do. And that day I felt like Halle Berry, or I felt like some like stunt actors. Like I felt so good that day. Like I got trained. Then I got to go like literally like on set, and they had like all of these like professional like people that, you know how like movie sets are always like 1,000 people there. And I was so scared. I walked in and I was like, I told the girl, I was like, all these people are going to watch me do this. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh no. I was like, this is really scary. And then like it ended up being really great. And afterwards I thought to myself, man, I'm holding myself back. I should put myself out there more. I've been auditioning more. Like my whole life has changed.
Wow.
Open yourself up to possibilities, everybody. That's the,
I will
that's
say,
from the thing.
I will say, I watched the full video.
Thank you,
with your whole like presenting and everything, and I said to my wife, and I was like, Denise is a pro, man. Like she's like, she gets it. Like,
one
she's
take. So
it looked it, and I was like, I said to my wife, guarantee.
I couldn't stop. Like I had just done all these trainings. I was like moving a lot. I was like, man, I had the energy up. I was sweaty. I was trying to wipe my face off.
I was like, no, she's a pro. Speaking of pros, True Heel Heat is in the chat. Hey, SP3, speaking of potential third guest hosts on this show. Who do you think is the most buried talent in wrestling at the moment? Do you know what? Like, I don't think it's Bray. Like, buried is such a, it's a loaded word. It's hard to find, like, who an actual buried talent is. Because there might be talent that's just like, man, they're not really getting the push that they deserve. But there's not a lot of talents that I think are being actively buried on television.
I'm gonna go with Drew Gulak, and the reason for that is he got a rose up his butt. How do you come back from that?
Yeah, it's hard to come back from that, but like I don't think he's just an enhancement guy. Like he's not getting buried for like, there's no like reason for him getting buried. So I don't know about that one. I don't think there is anyone on TV at the moment that is being actively buried. I don't think so.
I feel like Drew Gulak's still a good shout. He got a rose in his butt.
He did. Jonathan Hedman said, good appropriate time of the day. Piggybacking off a question from last week, who is the best Batman and why is it Kevin Conroy? Great question, Jonathan. I think like the obvious answer is to go with Conroy. I am an Adam West Batman fan, though. I adore the 66 show and the movie that goes with it. I love it so, so much. The only Batman like film I have is, or like the only stuff of Batman, I don't have any of the, I don't think I have either of the Keaton ones or the Clooney or Kilmer or any of the Dark Knight stuff. I don't have any of that on DVD and Blu-ray. I have the incomplete Adam West collection because that show rules. But I think if I'm going live action, my answer is going to be Keaton. Who's your favorite Batman?
Which one's the one that comes out in Dark Knight Rises with Heath Ledger?
That's Christian Bale.
Then I vote Christian Bale because that's the only one I've seen besides the one with Katie Holmes.
Yeah, which was also Christian Bale.
Okay. Well, there you go. Christian Bale's my answer.
It was Christian Bale in all three of those movies. I did not like Christian Bale's Batman. I thought he was a very good Bruce Wayne, but I did not. I thought his Batman voice was too silly.
I just think he's the greatest Batman I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, that'll help. Lawrence said, I saw a video recently that said, Europeans don't like the taste of American chocolate. You guys are a Brit and American on this panel, so I'll ask, is there any truth to this? Oh, Lawrence. Oh,
we
Lawrence
covered this.
Oh, me and Denise did a whole series on this like last year. It felt like it was a long running thing. You and I just always chatting about like American chocolates and stuff on the podcast version. That was actually what sent that led to you sending me all of those sweets and stuff for Christmas last year.
And though I didn't send you any chocolate though, because I was afraid it would melt.
Well, that's it. Yeah, you were told by your partner. I was like, dude, it will not last.
I was like, okay. But you sent yours and yours definitely lasts. Like, there is not one melted chocolate in there.
No, I knew they would last. I took the risk.
You took the risk and it paid off.
Yeah, but to answer your question in short terms, yes, it is true, because Hershey's taste like butt. Ricardo says, I believe I have pinpointed a crucial difference in tag team philosophy. So AEW, tag is a division. To WWE, tag teams is a match stipulation. Do you think this is accurate?
No, I don't think so. I just don't think that they necessarily, well, A, have enough tag teams, and B, have the passion to tell a great story with the tag team division.
Yeah, I think it's just the, like, apparently Arn Anderson, in fact, I'd say apparently, I listened to this episode of Arn Anderson on his podcast. When he was talking about, like, you know, why Vince doesn't like tag team wrestling, he said one of the reasons why tag teams, like, struggle to get over in WWE is that you've got to buy two plane tickets. Like, it's cheaper to fly one singles person because...
Oh, you mean literally? I thought this was a metaphor. I was like, oh, what does this mean? What does this two plane tickets mean?
No, you got to pay for two bits of travel. And if they're in a match, that's four bits of travel.
Okay, see, yeah, I thought that was going to be a metaphor.
No.
I was ready for some very interesting piece of, like, wrestling philosophy. I was like, all right, I'm going to learn something new right now. Nope. Okay.
Alex Kirkman said, apologies if I've missed this, but have you both seen the Jericho Broken Skull session? What did you guys think? I still haven't watched it, you know.
I watched half of it, and then I had to do something else, and I never came back.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I haven't, like, caught up on a lot of, like, network stuff in a long ass time.
Since the move to Peacock?
Well, we still got the network here. So we don't have
sorry,
Peacock.
I forgot.
We still have the network here. I just don't, like, I don't have time to watch any of the other, like, stuff that they put out. Like, I literally just watch the pay-per-views on a monthly basis and whatever retro pay-per-view I've got a review for Patreon.
No, for me, it's the opposite. Ever since they moved to Peacock, I don't watch anything on the net. Well, nothing on their on-demand. I don't know what do I call it. It's not the network no more. But I don't watch anything now. Like, I the stuff that I have been watching has been all the Dark Side of the Ring stuff. I watched a couple of the A&E biographies. I haven't even seen all of those. And then, you know, obviously podcast stuff. But yeah, no, I just don't have time. There's no time.
No. That Welsh guy said, this one's mainly for Denise this week. While listening to you and Sean on the Raw post show, you kept using a phrase that I've never heard before. I'm hoping you could clarify it. What on earth is a sister wife? And why do they want all Hell in a Cell matches?
Do you know what a sister wife is, Luke?
I do not know what a sister wife
is. What? You don't know what a sister wife is?
No.
Okay. So there's this show, and I don't watch it, but everybody knows, like, of it. And basically it's called, I'm going to Google it so I can give you the right information here. So it's called Sister Wives. It's a reality show. And essentially, like, it's, okay. So basically, like, there's, I think it's the Mormon religion that they allow, like, you know, one man to essentially be married to, like, multiple women. Mm-hmm. So essentially all of those women, because they share the same husband, they become sister wives.
Oh, okay.
So, right, like, obviously, you know, there's drama that goes into all of that. You know, sometimes the husband may give a little bit more attention to one of the wives, so the other wife gets jealous. And so I made, like, a joke about that, because WWE is essentially the husband, and you have the USA Network, and you have Fox, and they're the sister wives. They're sharing WWE, and they're all, you know, they all have invested in this. They're sister wives. So that's why I made the joke of, like, oh, like, like, well, you know, the sister wives got upset, and that's why they wanted, you know, that's why you got the Hell in a Cell in on Raw, because you had it on SmackDown. And so that was the thing, that it was like a joke. So it's based off the reality show Sister Wives, although I've never seen the show, but you just know of it. It's just one of those, like, cultural things that everybody knows about, like, the sister wives.
it makes so much sense. Yeah. So much sense. Like, it is amazing that it's taken this long for that Rousey TV show to exist as well. Yeah. Mark Joan said, scenario-based question for you this week. With Drew McIntyre losing to Lashley this past Sunday, do you think it's possible that he could win Money in the Bank and then go on to cash it in? Maybe even on Roman, turning heel in the process and turning Roman into a new babyface.
And this was Drew McIntyre?
Mm-hmm.
See, I kind of hope he doesn't win Money in the Bank. I'm kind of hoping for somebody different.
So who have you got down to, like, win the last chance thing out of AJ Orton and
See,
Drew?
I don't feel like it should be Drew McIntyre. And the reason for that is it doesn't go with him. It doesn't go with who he is, with his character, to essentially get into the Money in the Bank in this, like, you know, through the back door, you can say. Like, I just don't feel like it fits who he is. And so I kind of prefer, like, AJ or Randy. Like, I don't know. Like, it just doesn't feel like he already had, you know, multiple chances at the actual championship, had the chance to actually be in the match. So I'm like, you know what? This doesn't fit, Drew. I'm going to go with somebody different, because you don't want your babyface guy essentially winning in this manner. At least that's my, like, thought process behind this.
I agree with you. Also, we had a hyper chat on the Hell in a Cell review show that I really, really like. And I love this booking idea. And I'm not saying, like, if it doesn't happen, then, you know, it's stupid and everything. But I really like this as a character beat. Bobby Lashley cost Drew the title and helped Miz cash in, right? I would love the idea of Drew helping whoever has the Money in the Bank contract to cash in on Bobby as the revenge for him losing the title back in February. And, like, he hasn't had the title since, screwing him out at Hell in a Cell. And that way he can get his title shots again, because Lashley isn't the champion. He's able to challenge for the title. I think there's some really nice character work that could be done in there for Drew, for Bobby, for whoever wins the belt. I would much rather Drew not to have the Money in the Bank briefcase and someone else to have it.
Yeah, I like that too. I think there's obviously, if they already ran with this whole you can't face Bobby Lashley for the title anymore, like, might as well make it into something. And I think that would probably be a really good idea.
Yeah. Flaming Clive said, Luke, you like comic books. Everyone says the Batman can defeat anyone with enough planning, but do you think he could beat pop culture heroes like Pinhead, Jason, Freddy, Chucky, and Michael Myers? And if so, how do you think he would go about doing it? Question for you, Denise, if you weren't a wrestling podcaster, what do you think he'd be doing about now?
Oh, I feel like, yeah, we get this question. I kind of want to be like a planner. I feel like I could plan things, like events.
Like an event planner. Oh, cool.
Yeah, maybe not like weddings and stuff like that. I think more like, you know, like concerts or something. I feel like I could plan a concert.
And also, I think that Batman could quite easily defeat all of those creatures, because all of those creatures and monsters and everything like get killed by teenagers without all of the Batman skills. Like, they are, you know, they are, whether on their own or working together, can dispatch of Freddy, Jason, Chucky, Michael Myers. They didn't need Batman to do it. Batman, if anything, is like, that is using a hammer when what you need is a spoon. Like, that is. Batman could easily dispatch of them.
I appreciate your expert analysis, so I'm going to go ahead and say I agree, because I feel like you know what you're talking about.
Oh, man, like, we're so close now, because they're doing a lot of teasers for it. The Chucky TV series. I am so, so excited about that. Oh, I can't wait. It's like it's one of my favorite things in the world, the Child's Play series. And I love Don Mancini, and he's one of the nicest guys I've ever interviewed. And I love the cast. Cannot wait for that TV show.
Nice. I only saw one Child's Play, and I don't remember which one it was. The one where the guy goes to, like, the army or to, like, the barracks or something.
Child's Play 3.
Thank you. Child's Play 3. That's what I saw.
One of the most controversial movies here in the United Kingdom.
What? Why?
So there was an awful, awful incident earlier in the early 90s when two kids killed another young kid. It was this awful, awful, horrible story. And the police discovered that at some point in the lead up to this event, they had watched Child's Play 3 on video. So the media said, well, it's Child's Play 3's fault. That's the reason why they did it. And it became this huge, huge thing in the UK, like, the, you know, banned this filth, all that sort of stuff, to the point when my friend and I, when we were teenagers, we used to go to the video rental store on a Friday with his dad. And it was You could get 5 films for £5. I'm pretty sure that was the deal. And they were like cheap as ass horror movies, right? And that's what we do. We would always go to the horror section and we would rent 5. Like, so we're like 13, 14 at this point. And the one instruction we were always given is you can rent whatever film you want, but you cannot get any of the Child's Play. You cannot get a Chucky movie. You can get whatever, anything else you want, but you cannot get those movies, because she was deathly afraid that we would watch it and then we would go and then like do something terrible.
That is insane. I wonder what scene it is that maybe inspired them.
I don't think it's any of them. Like, I think it was just the media kind of latched onto something as a way to be like, what was the reason? You know, it's like, oh, why did the Columbine thing happen to you? Well, they were listening to Marilyn Manson CDs. It was probably that. Like, it's that kind of like looking for someone else to blame. Like, that was basically what it came down to.
I understand. Yeah, I used to have that movie on VHS. So we used to watch it all the time. And I didn't do anything. So there you go. We're all in the clear. You can watch Child's Play 3.
Oh, and yeah, I mean, I absolutely adore the Child's Play series now. But like, it scared the willies out of me. Like, hearing all those stories and stuff. And like, his mum and everything being like, you can't watch those films. It made this like big, big deal. So when I finally, we rented one in secret once. I remember like we rented Child's Play 2. Like, we were like, just like, we hid it like in the, so we handed like the stack of 5 videos to his dad and we put it in like the 4th position, because like that way it's not on top, it's not on the bottom, he might not notice it, and he didn't spot it. So we took it home and we watched it that night. We felt so bad, like we felt so guilty because we watched it. The following day his mum found out and went ballistic. She went ballistic that we'd watched it.
Oh my God. Were you guys still allowed to were you grounded after
that? We were allowed, but like his dad had to be more stringent about like checking the movies that we were like renting. Right. And not even that, just making sure we didn't rent another Child's Play movie was essentially like what it
was. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's one of my favorite film franchises. Callum said, do you think they'll take the belt off of Kenny Omega soon with the amount of injuries he currently has at the moment? I think he could lose the title soon after the first show back on the road. But funny enough, so producer Rich, who does our live Raw and AEW reviews, said to us in the call today, they should put the title on Jungle Boy tonight.
Oh my God. No, yeah. I don't think so. No, I would be shocked.
It's not time yet. But yeah, he was like, put the belt on him. Like, you may like just put the title on him now.
No, I would be in shock. Like, I know, like, I love Jungle Boy and all, but it's just not time yet. I still think that there's still, you know, obviously I get it. You know, he's hurting. We know that Kenny Omega's hurting and all of that. But I think that there's ways to like, hopefully still keep the belt on him.
Indeed. Handsome Dave said, Denise, what's your favorite food at Dodger Stadium? I just got tickets to see my beloved New York Metropolitans out here at the end of the summer. Would love a recommendation.
All right, here we go. Wait, where is he going? Is he going here? He's going to Dodger Stadium?
I just got tickets to see, favorite food at Dodger Stadium. I just got tickets to see my beloved New York Metropolitans out here.
Okay, so he's going to go see. Okay. All right, so this is what you got to do, all right? Listen to me and listen to me good. Take notes. You got to go, and I'm pretty sure they still have this. I don't know how things have changed because of COVID, but you got to go to the all-you-can-eat section, all right? I think it's the left field or the right field pavilion seats. One of those. No, it's left field. It's left field. Okay. And it's the all you can eat section. Now, I know a lot of people are like, oh, that's kind of gross. No, it's fabulous. You can get nachos. You can get hot dogs. You can get soda and peanuts. And maybe one other thing that I don't remember what it is. Maybe popcorn, I think. I think they have popcorn. But whatever. You can eat all the hot dogs that you want, and they are so good. So I would – well, they did change the wiener, though, so I don't know how good they are now. But there was a whole thing where they changed the wiener now for the Dodger dogs.
I'm a one-wiener kind of guy.
So I don't know how good the new wiener is, but you can definitely check out the Dodger dogs in the all-you-can-eat section. And obviously, you have all the food that you can eat, right? And you can still go and like, let's say you want something else that's not in the all-you-can-eat area, then you can go and like, you know, get some food elsewhere. But it's good because, you know, baseball games are long and you sometimes get a little bored if you're me, at least. So you want to go eat a little bit. Do the all-you-can-eat section.
And if you want the best wiener, bluechew.com/Fightful.
Okay. Exactly. The best wiener.
I should not have giggled at that. I'm 35 years old. Anyway, the Handsome Dave continues. Luke, as I understand it, football matches are much less travel with food and no drink, but rather it's all scarves and songs. Who is your local team and what do you miss look forward to about going to their matches? So we do have food at matches. Like if you go to a football match, granted, I will say I haven't been to a football game for 20 plus years at this point. Would be the last time that I went to a football game.
Wait, 20 plus years?
Yeah, it would have been the last time I went to a sports game. Would have been the,
Wait, hold on. When you say football, you mean soccer? Or what
yes,
do you mean?
I mean actual football. Yes.
Oh no. You can't say that here. You can't say that here. You're lucky that I'm not one of like those hardcore like football fans because like
You know, it's just like, oh, our sport was invented second, so we just took the name. Yeah, it's a great argument.
You have no idea how seriously these people here take their American football.
It's a compelling argument. We stole the name and we think it's now ours. It's hard to argue against. Anywho, so I haven't been for about 20 plus years. But when I did used to go, you used to be able to get drinks because like people have beers and stuff like that. But I would go there with a mug of Bovril. And you would then have a Scouse pie at halftime is what I would have when I used to go to Goodison Park to watch Everton. So yeah, that was my food choice when I would go there. A lovely little pie and a little mug of Bovril. Delightful.
I don't know what Bovril is. And why would you get pie at a game?
Well, because like it's delicious. Also, it's Scouse, which is one of the best things in the world. And it's like wrapped up in pastry. So you can just have a little pie. It's delightful.
But that's not game food, though.
Of course it's game food. Like, what else are you going to have?
Game food is like nachos, burgers, maybe not even, burgers. Like,
yeah, but you can get burgers outside.
Strips.
Get burgers from a van outside. That'll cost you like £1.50 and you're not actually sure if it's meat. But you could definitely go and get one of those. But if you're in the stadium, I would always get a pie.
I just can't imagine getting a pie at a game.
And to answer your question, Bovril, I'm just going to make sure that I say this correctly because I do want to get it.
What?
It's yeast extract. So it's like Marmite or Vegemite and that kind of stuff. And it's just sort of like this sort of like beef paste, basically. And you just put that into a cup with some hot water into there and it makes basically like a cup of gravy. And it's excellent. It's really good to warm you up on a winter's day.
So this is just a cup of gravy that you're eating?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like beef Bovril.
With your pie?
With your pie.
No, that is not game food.
Is game food. That is what I would have when I was a kid and when I was a young teenager. That is what I would have when I would go to football games.
That is so crazy. No, I can't accept it. I can't accept it. I'm telling you, like games, it's either nachos, hot dogs, some flower seeds.
Flower seeds? Well, I'm not planting anything. I'm not here to do some gardening, mate. I'm here to watch some sports.
Like seeds. Yes. Everybody eats those at games all the time. Yes. It's a thing.
Nice. Pies and Bovril. Anyway, Handsome Dave's final point to this is how does that differ at wrestling shows? At wrestling shows, I just drink beer. Like that is that I don't tend to eat anything when I'm at a wrestling show. I just drink the beer.
All right. Well, it's the exact same thing at wrestling shows, minus the flower seeds, because I don't think they have them there. But it depends on what type of wrestling show you're going to. But if you're going to like the arenas, again, nachos, hot dogs, pretzels, little tiny pizzas, like I can't wrap my head around this.
Just to clarify as well, because I think there's some confusion in the chat, there needs to be some discussion about this. When I say pie, I don't mean like dessert pie, which I think is what you guys call like a pastry dish.
So like what kind of pie are we talking? Like a pot pie?
There's pot pie meat. Like that would be what it is. Like Scouse. So Scouse is basically lamb, carrots, swede, potato, and like
that's too much. Like I figured you were talking about some sort of pot pie, but pot pies at games.
Oh, you'd have like a meat pie, basically. You could go get beef and onion if you wanted, or a steak and ale pie, or a steak and kidney pie. And that just comes in like a gravy in its own right, or like, you know, mincemeat and stuff. And then you would have your cup of Bovril on the side.
You know, I was trying to convince my fiance to go to London and watch the Jets this year, but he's like, we can't afford it, so we can't go. But now I really want to go so he can try out some of this like food.
Oh, man.
And be like, what the hell is this?
Pies are delicious. So, so good.
Hey, did you know that they announced dates for the UK WWE?
I did indeed. I saw that this morning. Yeah. Probably not. I mean, I haven't been to a WWE show in...
Oh, come on, Luke.
When was the last time I went to a WWE live event?
You should go.
Ambrose was there. I can tell you that much. It was actually, I'll tell you, it was when Kurt Angle was GM. I think that was the last time Ollie and I went to a live show, was when Kurt Angle was GM. And because Kurt Angle couldn't fly, they made Dean Ambrose the guest GM for the night. And I think the main event was Ambrose and Miz. I think I want to say that was the main event. It wasn't very good. And they also had on that show Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe. And that match was bad. Real bad. Me and Ollie took a break during it because we were like, this is not working. And so we went and got our drinks during that match. It just did not work.
Well, I think you should go.
Yeah, maybe. If they give us free tickets, I'll go. Michael Morales said, what's your guilty pleasure movie? Mine is Eight-Legged Freaks with David Arquette or Jurassic Park 3. Do you have a guilty pleasure film?
I have so many of them, but last night I was watching Rush Hour. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was rewatching the first one and it was really good. I fell asleep though and I missed the last 5 minutes, but I know how it ends. But I don't know if it's my guilty pleasure movie. I think my guilty pleasure movie is Titanic.
Is that a guilty pleasure? Like, so you don't want to like it?
No. Oh, wait. I don't think I understood the question then.
So a guilty pleasure movie is a movie that you know is bad, but you love it.
Oh, Rat Race. Oh, I love
Rat Race. Oh, man. What a shout. What
yes,
a shout.
Rat Race Great is film. So good. Like, for
Ends
me.
With Smash Mouth at the end.
Okay. So my favorite part. Okay. And I kid you not. My favorite part in any movie ever. The funniest thing in my entire life that I've seen in any movie ever happened in Rat Race. Okay. And it's one simple line. And I forget. I think it's Dan Aykroyd. Is that his name? Dan Aykroyd?
I think Dan Aykroyd is in that film. Yeah.
Okay, him. Okay, him. The dad, and he's with the mom, and he has the kids, and they go to the Barbie museum and all of that.
No. That's, oh, no, it's John Lovitz.
John, thank you. Who's Dan Aykroyd?
Dan Aykroyd's in Ghostbusters.
Why do I know Dan Aykroyd? Okay, whatever. I don't know where his name came from. But anyways, okay, so him. Okay, so John Lovitz. Okay, mm-hmm. There's this moment in the movie where he goes, I don't want to work at Home Depot. That one line kills me every single time. Like, it is the funniest thing ever. I don't know why. It just makes me laugh like to no end. And so, like, I love that movie. My fiance hates it. He never likes to watch it. And I'm like, dude, freaking Rat Race is awesome.
That is such a good show. I'm going to highlight this one here. Valib says Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And the only reason I want to highlight that is because I have a very interesting fact about that movie. Because I don't know if you know about this, Denise. I once wrote a book about video game movies. And I spoke to the producer of that movie, who told me that film was released unfinished.
Uh-huh.
It was meant to have an entire other part of special effects and music and everything out there so they could tighten up the movie. And the decision was made, do you know what? It's going to make money regardless. People are going to see it. We don't need to bother. And do you know what? People turned out and the film made money.
And the ending didn't matter?
Yeah, well, I mean, it looks like us. It looks like complete butt, but like it made money. They just purposely released it unfinished.
So is that your guilty pleasure movie?
Oh, no, the film's terrible. That film was absolutely garbage. I mean, there's a lot of the Godzilla movies aren't good, but I absolutely like Son of Godzilla is not a great movie, but I absolutely adore it. And it'd be one of the ones that, like, if I'm in the mood to watch a Godzilla film, that might be one of my go-to because, like, I don't have to, like, take it seriously. I don't have to, like, really put some effort into it. I could be like, yeah, this is goofy stuff, nonsense for kids. And I kind of love it for that.
Nice. I think that's a good one. Seems fair, like a guilty pleasure movie.
Oh, speaking of which, hold on, because we've got more combat. The Street Fighter movie, that film is knee good. I do love it, though.
I was forced to watch that movie, and I think I fell asleep. So I don't even think I'd give it another chance.
Super Mario Brothers, I've got it here on Blu-ray and on DVD. Though, like, that film as well is no good. I wrote a book about video game movies once. Those films are no good either, but I do absolutely love it, and I think it's a fascinating little film.
Fantastic. See, we just watched totally different movies, though. I haven't seen most of the ones that you're talking about.
When my wife was when I was clearing out my physical media stuff, because my wife and I were trying to, like, save some space, I kept hold of The Calamari Wrestler. And my wife, she picked this up and she's like, what the hell is this? And I was like, yeah, Calamari Wrestler. That? Look, it's about a calamari. It's a giant calamari that's also a wrestler.
What?
Yeah, it's great.
I'd never heard of that.
Check it out. It's really good.
I don't think I will. I don't think I will. No, I'll pass. I'll take your word for it and I'll pass.
That's probably wise. Chris said, I was wondering, with Nikki Cross now using a superhero gimmick, how important do you think it is to evolve your character as a wrestler, just as many top stars like Roman, Seth, Alexa, Kenny Omega, and Drew have done over the years to stay in the spotlight and stay fresh? For me, Naomi is a prime example of someone who does need a revamp.
I think, I don't know if Naomi needs a revamp. I think for her, it was just more of like, they never really, I don't know. I feel like they never really gave her character a chance, because I feel like she's somebody that she has like such a dedicated fan base. And I feel like they haven't utilized that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that when it comes to like people's personas and all of that, I do think that like once if you've done something for such a long time and then you're just not creatively fulfilled and like maybe the fans aren't reacting to it as much anymore, I definitely think you should think about like reinventing yourself.
That's the key to it, is it's when it gets to a point where it's no longer working. Like if it's still working, then absolutely carry on with it. Like you don't need that revamp. But I think like to Chris's point there, Naomi is someone at the moment, who, because they've done nothing with for so long, she just now feels like part of the furniture. Like she doesn't feel like any, like she had a match on Raw this week and I didn't care. And that's a shame, because like when Naomi came back a couple of years ago at the Rumble, I was like, this is the best. Finally, Naomi's back. We're good. But then we've had 18 plus months of nothing. So now I'm not excited about her being on TV. So like that is a case of, had you run with it when it was first good, when it first top, we probably wouldn't be sat here talking about like, man, Naomi needs a revamp of character. But because she's essentially just been off TV for, effectively, she's been in a tag team with Lana that was going nowhere, that she probably does need a new coat of paint, maybe.
Yeah, no, I mean, she definitely has all the colors because she comes in all bright. So when you said coat of paint, I was like, dude, she's got all the neon colors. Like, I'm sorry, but that's very exciting. So like, I like that. I like all the neon stuff. I mean, I don't want to see her as a superhero or anything like that.
No, and it could, and it totally should have worked. And it did work for a long time. But like, because of WWE's ineptitude, I'm now sat here thinking like, well, that needs a, she needs a new coat of paint. When actually, really, she doesn't. She is actually completely fine. That character totally works, but the character has been doing nothing for 2 years. So now it's just like, I guess that one's done.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's like, if they were to even do something new with her, it's like, would they even utilize, like, would they even take advantage of that?
Yeah. And lastly, Joshua says, with the arrival of the Diamond Mine on this week's NXT going after Kushida and the Cruiserweight title, do you think you could turn Hit Row into a tweener faction and have Scott face Strong for the title? Do you think that's a good idea? Or should Scott be aiming higher, like the NXT championship?
I feel Hit Row has been very boring since their debut. After their debut, it's gone downhill for me, where I've completely lost interest in Hit Row. So I don't care what they do with them as long as it's interesting.
Hit Row, I said, was like, this is the greatest gimmick in WWE when they debuted, because I thought they were so baller. I thought it was so rad. But it hasn't quite caught fire sort of since that debut, which I think is a real shame. I don't think it's anything on the talent in that ring either. Like, it's got nothing to do with them as people. I just think they have yet to really get that storyline. Like, that's what they need right now.
Yeah, I haven't been impressed with the in-ring stuff either. So, pass for me.
And Joshua also asks how mine and Ollie's friendship survived after the great No Rolls Barred drama this week. I don't know if you've seen this week's
What happened?
So we play a game called Blood on the Clock Tower, where you get given roles and you have to try and find out who is evil and who is good. And the characters that Ollie and I played this week were the evil twins. So I was the evil twin and Ollie was my good twin. I knew that Ollie was my good twin. He knew that I was his evil twin, but nobody else knows that. So essentially, I'm just spending the whole game being like, no, I'm the good twin. He's the evil twin, and he's the one who's trying to kill everyone. I'm the good twin that's trying to save everyone. And we basically just shouted at each other for the entire game, because he knew that I was the evil twin, and I pretty much convinced everyone that I was the good twin.
And what happened in the end?
So, I mean, I don't want to give spoilers away for the end of the game. Okay. Because it's a really, really fun game. But yeah, suffice to say, people trusted me.
Oh, wow. So that's not fair. I feel like that was like, you're like naturally really likable. So it was Abe. So you fell into the role properly. Wow. So never trust you.
I was going to say, it's what a lot of people said when we were going into like private chats. They were like, you're such a nice guy that like, I just want to inherently trust you. And I was like, well, don't just rely on that. Like, you know, just like trust, you know, the information that I'm giving you as well. I'm also giving you good information. It was real fun. It was real fun, but it was stressful, man. Real stressful. I do not like to be part of the bad team. And our last question here comes in from Richard, who said, whether the writers should or shouldn't know about wrestling, they definitely need to know the greatest quote ever. Expressing yourself and putting pieces of yourself to make something great and magical. From Denise Salcedo.
I was going to say, I've heard that before. God, 16-year-old Denise brain.
And like, yeah, that was it your yearbook quote or something?
It was my yearbook quote. I was in the drama club. I was like in every club that you can think of, but one of them was the drama club. And I missed the actual like drama club class picture. I don't know why, but I missed it. So then they did like my own little like, let's get a quick picture of you. And I didn't even know. They just came up to me and they were like, why do you like being in drama club? And I gave them my quote. And, like a couple weeks later, it was in the yearbook. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm in the yearbook. Yay.
Expressing yourself and putting pieces of yourself to make something
and
great.
And turned that
magical.
Into a Blue Chew joke. I was like, that's not what I meant when I said pieces of yourself. Like looking back at that quote, I'm like, that was such a stupid quote. Oh, that was just a bad quote.
Did you say stupid? You're stupid.
No, I didn't.
It's fine.
Oh,
what did you
say? I said stupid.
Yeah, stupid's fine.
I was going to lie to you and tell you I didn't say anything. I was going to say you heard wrong.
So yearbooks aren't a thing really in the UK. At least they weren't
when
I was at school. Yeah, you just end the year and you move on to the next year. Like that's
you've never gotten a yearbook?
Well, because by the time I was leaving school, culture had started to become quite Americanized. So there were like a group of people that wanted. They were influenced by like movies and TV shows, and they would mention like yearbook club and this sort of stuff. So they wanted to make a yearbook basically for like all of us and I, like the final year I was at school, so which had been 2004. There was one picture of me in there. I think it was pretty much just like from the shoulder up as well. It was from someone else's birthday party. And my award was, this shows you the time, most likely to join the darkness.
What?
So the darkness were like this like pop rock band at the time. We had a big hit called I Believe in a Thing Called Love, and I had long hair at the time. So that was what I got, was most likely to join the darkness. And that was pretty much the only things I can tell you about. I don't even think I've got it. I don't even think I've got anything of it.
But they didn't even include your class picture in those yearbooks? You should have at least two pictures, shouldn't you?
No, there was no.
They didn't put you like every student's picture in like an alphabetical order?
No, we didn't have like school. Like we didn't have a picture day or anything like that. It was basically just like
you
a collage.
You didn't have
of pictures.
Picture day?
We'd have picture days, but like only up until about year eight or nine, and then we stopped doing it. So I didn't have any like school.
Wait, so like you didn't have picture day like kindergarten, first grade, and all of that?
Up until a certain point, up until I was about like 14 maybe, and then they don't think we'd ever did them after that.
And you guys are like, oh, they're ugly now, so we're not going to take their picture anymore.
Man, have you seen that kid? I ain't putting him in front of the camera.
Oh my God. Okay, can you guess what I got most voted for in, this is my eighth grade yearbook.
Okay, so what year is this?
This is eighth grade.
I need a year of context. I need a year for context.
Well, it's kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade.
What year? Like, was it 2004,
I don't
2005?
Know. Let me see. I graduated in 2014, which means I was a freshman in 2010, which means this was probably 2008, 2009.
Okay, so 2008, 2009. What was popular? Man, I have no idea.
I was like 12, 13, maybe.
Most likely to...
No, it's not a most likely. It's like a most this. Like a most that.
Most goth.
Goth?
I was like, maybe there was this part of your life that I didn't know where you were this big goth.
Yeah, definitely did not go through a goth phase. I was voted most talkative in eighth grade. I should have known.
I was going to say most chatty. That was going to be my...
I got voted most talkative and I was like, what? I don't even talk to nobody. Why did they vote me most talkative? I was so pissed too. But then afterwards I was like, well, at least I guess I made the yearbook. So I was in the yearbook all the time because I was like in different clubs and stuff. Okay, so here's a funny story. So I'm actually in my high school yearbook with one of my ex-boyfriends. And
are
my
really?
Fiance saw it and he was like, this is your ex-boyfriend? And I was like, yeah. But I love the picture because I look great in that photo. My hair is in all the right places. So I'm like, I like to show off that picture. And he's all like, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, sorry that we made the yearbook.
I'm going to put you on the spot there. Was he more attractive than your current partner?
No, definitely
was he more attractive
not.
Than your fiance?
No, definitely. He was not that cute, actually. That's the problem.
You can tell us. You're amongst friends. No, you can tell us.
He was not that cute, which is why it's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. Like, you've never dated somebody ugly and you're like, shoot, I shouldn't have dated this ugly person.
That's what all my ex-girlfriends said about me.
Okay, well, that's what I say about most of my ex-boyfriends, especially in high school. They were hideous, okay? Like, what was I thinking? They were gross. They didn't even look like they showered.
Oh, my God. Brandy just said Luke's being Howard Stern.
Yeah, you are. You totally are. You just asked me a Howard Stern question. I'm getting married to the man, and you were like, is your ex-boyfriend hotter than But I was literally loving that picture because I look really good. Like, I have this great haircut and I'm like skinny in the photo. So I was like, oh, this is like, I was hot right there. And so, like, that's why I brag about it. It's my only bragging point from like high school days. No, but that guy ended up getting with this girl that he said he did not like. Like, he told me, because there was this other girl who liked my boyfriend at the time. And I was like, well, you're my boyfriend, right? So there's a little bit of drama there. So I asked him, like, do you like her? And he was like, no, she's hideous. Well, we broke up and he ended up knocking this girl up and she got pregnant.
Okay? Oh, wow.
So you know what? I saved myself, because if not, I would have been pregos by then. Like, this was high school drama, okay? But this guy also ended up being my first date, Luke. And guess what? He made me pay. I paid on my first date ever with a guy. I paid. And this is why I'm a feminist now. See, it all happened in childhood. I paid for our first date because this guy was broke. Okay. And my mom, she was like, Denise, if you ever go out with a guy, make sure he has a job, make sure he has a car, and that he's respectful. Okay. Well, this guy did not have a job. We walked to the movie theaters and he was not necessarily all that respectful.
And he wasn't that cute either.
And he wasn't that cute either. Okay. He ended up getting like really bad, like not cute afterwards.
Because
after high school, he didn't. And then my friends would make fun of me. They were like, I can't believe you dated that guy. And I was like, shut up. He was good looking when I dated him. He's not anymore. Okay.
So our end of school traditions, basically, like when we left school, like,
Oh, Luke, you're frozen.
It was because we all wore school uniforms. So, like, that was basically, like, you took in a mark. Oh, man, is it me? Am I my back? Am I here?
Yeah, you're here now. Okay, you were thinking about your school and your wardrobe.
Yeah. So, our end of school thing is that we all wore school uniform. So you would get, like, you would take a marker in with you, and then people would sign your shirt and, like, leave you a message or something like that on your shirt. And the first person that signed something on mine, will tell you how popular I was at school, wrote in big block capitals, I love wanking. And that is that is what I had on my shirt.
Who wrote that?
I can't remember who it was. I just remember, like, someone said, like, oh, I'll sign your shirt. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. Thanks so much. And that's where he wrote in big block capitals. And that was like, and there was no getting around that then. I just walked around the whole day with that written on my back.
Oh, my God. I just can't believe that you guys didn't have yearbooks. Like, it was fun to, like, go around and get your friends to write in it and get sweet messages. And like, now I read that, I'm like, I don't even know who this person was. But okay, great. We were friends back then.
Anyway, we've got two other messages we've come through now. The first thing is from Josh, who said, hi guys, hopefully I get this in time. I just need to say thank you again for all that you have done for my dad. My dad's been diagnosed with dementia, so it's been a really hard time with everything going on lately. Love you all. Josh, that sucked so much. Yeah, and that's really harsh, man. Like, but hope everything is good with you and everything is good with your family. Like, it's awful news. And lastly, Jay Gabriel says, Nuke, I just have to say something, being an avid wrestling fan should be the bare minimum to be a writer. Being a Hollywood writer is just a bonus. It's like a mechanic not knowing how a car works but trying to fix your car. Love you all, Juan Gabriel.
I think that's a pretty good point.
We actually have an email, Denise, that I've been meaning to read out for quite some time now, but it keeps,
really,
like, yeah, it keeps getting sort of like bumped, because sometimes you and I don't have time to do the podcast intro and outro, and then there's been times where we've just gone off the rails chatting and then I keep forgetting. So I'm finally going to answer this question now. It comes in from Dale, And it says, hi, both. Hope you're all having a great, appropriate time of the day. Luke says Twitter and Amazon the same as you do, Denise. I'm sorry, you're fighting the wrong hill here. I can never watch the shows live, so I only ever get to send emails to get in touch. But I got a new job recently, so I can become a pledge hammer soon with that increased dollar amount. Stay safe. Jam that jam. That's from Dale.
That is very sweet, but Dale is wrong because I had people DM me on Instagram and they were like, oh yeah, Luke does say Twitter weird.
I don't. Twitter, we say it the same way.
I've had people that hit me up on DMs and they're like, oh yeah, like this and that. And I'm like, see, I knew I was right.
Yeah, well, they're wrong because I don't. Anyway, so you got a day of cleaning tomorrow, I believe. You're going to go buy yourself a vacuum cleaner. But then Sunday is a rare day off for Denise Salcedo.
It is. And I very much needed it this week because this week was kind of like I woke up. It was Monday and like I blinked and it's Friday. And I'm like, what the hell happened in between all of those other days? So, yeah, I'm excited because, well, Saturday I'm going to clean in my house and then watch AEW, so that's kind of still a work day, so it doesn't really count as a day off. And then Sunday I officially have a day off. I'm going to the beach with my friend and I'm very excited because we've been planning this beach day for like 3 months now and we finally got around to it because she has a busy schedule, I have a busy schedule, so just trying to get together is like, you know, all sorts of messy. But we finally did it. We were actually supposed to do a road trip, but I ruined it. Well, AEW ruined it by preempting their show to Saturday, and I was like, dude, I was going to take a road trip this weekend, so I had to cancel that, and we ended up just doing planning a beach day. So AEW did kind of ruin my plans a little bit for this weekend, but it's okay. We made it work.
I'll message Tony Khan after the show and tell him that he ruined your weekend.
Yeah, seriously.
That's not cool. but I totally get what you mean. It's like, I went to go see my friends last weekend. The four of us got together for the first time in 2 years. The four of us actually got together. This is like my old workmates that I worked at a job about 10 or so years ago. And we call it our movie marathon club because we would get together like once a month before like we all got married and stuff, and we would like pick a film franchise and we would just watch that film franchise back to back throughout that day.
Oh, so that's a really nice thing.
So we'd do like all 12 Halloween movies, all 7 A Nightmare on Elm Street movies. The worst one we did was we did 15 Godzilla movies back to back. It took us over 24 hours and it ended up not being a fun time because we were just really tired and grumpy by the end of it. Picking shorter 15? Ones was a much more fun thing. Yeah, 15 films, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, well, it was work. I slept through some of them. When it got to like 6 a.m., I was like, I need to fall asleep for one of these films. But yeah, so like we got together and it was the first time we'd all been together in over 2 years. And we had our table at the pub booked from 2 until 7. And we went outside for a brief moment to get some fresh air. And I suddenly looked up and I was like, huh, the street lights are on. That's weird because they don't usually come on until about 8:30. Looked at my watch. It was 8:30 in the evening. We'd been there for like hours on end. And then we stayed for another couple of hours. I didn't get home until 11:30. It was nuts. I was out like the whole day.
You're a party animal.
I was a party animal. And but at the end of it, we were like trying to arrange, when are we going to get together next? And Denise, it's basically next year. It's the only time all four of us can like arrange stuff together because like Chris has got stuff on, Dave's got 2 kids, John's got stuff going on, I've got stuff going on. Like we just couldn't arrange like a weekend where we could all do this.
But do they live far from you?
Oh yeah, we're all quite disparate around like the southeast. So like even to go see them at the pub, I had to drive for 1.5 hours to get to the pub to go and see them.
That makes sense.
So what we may do is our new thing is we're only ever going to get together once a year, but we're going to have one day in the diary. And every year, that's the day that we get together. Because at least then it's a consistent thing.
Well, I hope you guys stick to it because that's like a pretty awesome thing to like look forward to. And I feel like not a lot of us, like we get so wrapped up in our own lives that we don't even get to do these types of fun things anymore. So I'm rooting for you guys.
Thanks, bud. I don't think I've actually got much on this weekend. Actually, I'm going to the pub tomorrow with some friends of mine, some other friends of mine. So that's
very social. You have so many friends. I have like four friends.
Yeah, well, I mean, those three friends, those were the three friends that I had. But it was marrying my wife, who's got a buttload of friends. And now those friends have become my friends. So I've basically just stolen her friends.
Well, that's not fair. That is not fair. I have four friends. My fiance has like 2 friends. And then that's like literally it.
Yeah, no, it's funny because like, so my friend Adam texted me and was like, hey, do you want to go to the pub on Saturday? Like me and Tom. And then I told this to Kate and I was like, oh, me and Adam are going to go to the pub. And she's like, what? Why did you get to go invited to the pub? Why didn't I get invited to go to the pub? And I was like, because it's just the three of us that are going. So she texts Adam's wife and be like, why are our husbands all hanging out? Surely we should be hanging out as well. So they've arranged their own little day out now.
Oh, see, that's sweet. Oh, man, I'm jealous of all of you guys. You guys got social lives. It's great.
I know. Yeah, but also, Denise, I kind of like one of the things I've enjoyed about this lockdown period is I didn't have to go anywhere. And now to arrange like all these
social
days.
Oh, come on. Wait, so now, okay, did the lockdown make you want to stay home more often or did the lockdown make you want to go out more often?
Stay home. I really enjoyed it because like my favorite person in this world is my wife and I just got to hang out with her all the friggin' time. So it was awesome. That was like, okay, so it was great.
I feel evil. I want to go out. Like, I just want to go places all the time. All the time.
Yeah, I think my wife would have a different answer. Like, I think she wanted to go on holiday and things like that. And I was like, no, let's just stay here. Staying here is great.
She was like, no, I want to go on holiday.
Yeah, she's like, I want to go on holiday. I want to go sit on a beach. I want to go and like swim in a pool and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, or we could just stay here. And we could just watch Friends again if you want.
No, go to the beach. Go lay by the pool.
I mean, when you go to the beach, are you an active, like, going into the water? Or are you just, like, laying on the beach? Are you a reader?
No, I do both. I go in the water. I splash around. I get insanely wet. And then I come back. And then I read. And then I go back into the water. And then I come back out. And I do something. I eat. Then I go back in. I'm those people that go in. I like to, like, boogie board. I think that's what it's called. It's like, you go on the little board. And you wait for the wave to come. And when the wave comes, you jump on the board. So it, like, washes you back into the sand. It's really fun. And that's the only thing I dare do because I don't know how to surf and I know how to swim, but I'm too scared to swim in the ocean. So like, that's the bravest thing I can do there.
Why are you scared to swim in the ocean?
Because the ocean always wins. Always. The ocean always wins. The
ocean always wins.
Yes, it does. Like I could be swimming and you just never know what can happen. And I'll just be like, whoosh. That's it.
Why wasn't that your inspirational quote that was in yearbook? It was just like a warning to everyone.
Ocean always wins.
Ocean always wins.
No, it's true. And I actually got that from my grandma because like I've always been afraid of like large bodies of water. Like that's always been my fear, which is really weird because I'm willing to go into the ocean, but I'm terrified of the ocean, but I'm willing to go in. But here's the thing though, is that what scares me is the waves. So I could handle a certain amount of like a height of a wave, but once it gets extra taller, I can't even be near the area because it just freaks me out. But if the waves are little, it's fine. Well, anyway, so like my grandma would tell me like, you know, she wasn't a fan of me going into the water, you know, at the beach. Like she was like, oh my God, please be careful. This and that. She's in that. She's out because the ocean always wins. And I started thinking about that. And I was like, she's right. The ocean always wins.
I'm a reader on the beach. Like I would just sit there and I would just read all day long. Because if I go swimming, like I don't mind waves and stuff like that. But what I really like is still water. Like when we were in Canada and like swimming in glacial lakes, that was awesome. Like that's lush. But that's what I like, the peacefulness of that, where you're just like surrounded by mountains, surrounded by nature. And it's just like you and like two other people or something. And it's just really nice and peaceful and quiet.
That sounds beautiful. Sounds like serenity.
Exactly. Whereas on your beach, you've just got like kids running around, boogie boarders going past you, waves like crashing into you and whatnot.
You're going to be at the beach. You're just going to see me like passing by like, woo, splashing everybody in all the directions.
Splashing water on my book and stuff. I'm like, fucking yeah. Enemies.
Yeah, seriously. And then like, and then you get sand everywhere and it takes
three days off
to take it off. Yeah, it's
terrible. I don't want to come across as Anakin Skywalker here, but I hate sand. Absolutely hate sand so much. The worst.
It does. It's and you always feel sticky afterwards. It's kind of gross. No, but awful. I do it once a year. Like once a year I go to the beach. Like people think here that like, oh, because you live in California, you must go to the beach all the time. No, I go once a year in the summer and that's it. I never go back until the next year.
Have you ever been stung by a jellyfish?
No, never.
Yeah, I have. I got stung by a jellyfish in Thailand and it stings, man.
Oh my gosh, really stings. Everything happened to you when you went to Thailand.
I know, right? I got engaged. My wife got poisoned. I got stung by a jellyfish. It was great.
Fantastic vacation.
But anyway, let's draw this to a close. I hope you have a really nice weekend, Denise. I hope you have a lovely, lovely time at the beach.
And I hope everyone else has a lovely weekend as well. We've got a busy schedule on the podcast next week because the AEW review returned, because AEW are now back on Wednesday nights where they bloody belong and I can watch the show again properly. So Ollie and I will be reviewing that on Thursday. We'll also have the usual Raw, NXT, SmackDown reviews. But until then, take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.